And before we have kind of a final guided meditation around those themes, are there any questions for just a couple of minutes?
Concept of relinquishment, of giving up, and how it relates to giving. The concept of, you know, giving down the generosity, which I think many of us are familiar with, but then how is it related to relinquishment?
Yeah.
Because both lightning and judgment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're sort of really, you know, in some ways, two sides of the same coin, or one is an extension of the other, or just kind of a little bit more of a, in my mind anyway, has a broader quality to it, in that, you know, generosity, dana, as we often think about it, I mean, that can be used in many different contexts as well, you know, it has the sort of the common usage is when you're, you know, giving something, you know, like a material support is the most common use, although there's other uses of the word dana as well. But the, you know, what chaga does is it kind of furthers, I think, that experience, in that you're actually letting go of something that you're holding on to. You know, if there's some clinging or some sense of ownership or possessiveness in that ownership, that kind of self-orientation, then chaga has that additional implication of giving that up, handing that over, letting that go, relinquishing it. You know, that kind of self-concern that wants to hold or possess or cling to something. So that itself is also part of the process of giving. Yeah, that grip that we have on holding and possessiveness, to me that kind of is, you know, a little bit further implied with the chaga. Yeah, Edward.
I'm trying to look at it in myself, contemplating peace as opposed to within what I go through, grasping for peace as a result of aversion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Not the same result either.
Yeah, yeah, and there is that, you know, that part of us that feels the discomfort of suffering. You know, when we're grasping at something, or when we're trying to avoid something that's unpleasant, and we just want to get away from it, and so we think, I'll just push that aside, and I'll focus on my breath, and I'll go into stillness, and it you know, will go away. And that's a state of mind that's based on aversion. So sometimes, as I think it kind of came up in a question before, is before you can actually really experience that peace and that stillness of letting go, or of turning the mind away from an unwholesome state, you kind of have to acknowledge that is there to begin with, so that you don't just kind of barely recognize it and then turn into a state of aversion and escape mentality, because all that does is reinforce the state of mind that you're trying to get away from. It gives it more power. So in a sense, you know, you can see it. You could see it as having to give up or give over to the fact that there is a state of mind that's present. You have to give up from trying to run away from it. You know, you have to give up the resistance and surrender, in a sense, to the fact that, hey, this state of mind or this experience is a result, you know, it's a vipaka, it's a result of something somewhere along the line that I'm experiencing. And I have to own up to it and recognize it before I can let it go, before it will pass on its own, if I just don't hold to it. And holding includes running away from or trying to avoid. That's also holding it in a slightly different way. So it's allowing, in a very spacious, open heart, for that unpleasant experience to be there in its fullness without supporting it, without leading, you know, leading into it, without getting involved with it, but acknowledging its presence, experiencing it, and then letting it go of its own accord. Yeah, I think for me, when I experience that, you know, a lot of the benefit of doing it comes kind of afterwards when you've disciplined yourself to just go ahead and do it and not think so much about it, you know, and just kind of, it's like jumping into the water when you're not sure if it's going to be too cold or not, you know, jumping into the swing, just do it, you know, just suspend, you know, trust that initial impulse to give, you know, that's, you know, oftentimes there is that initial impulse to give, and then all of a sudden the rational mind says, oh, but, you know, if I give it, I won't have it, or maybe it will be taken in the wrong way, or, you know, there's that impulse that's kind of running underneath, you know, the subtext. But to trust that, you know, as long as it's, you know, a wholesome thing that you're giving, just to go ahead and do that. And then afterwards reflect, okay, well, how do I feel now? Was it worth it? And to really look at that and say, oh, okay, yeah, that really was the right thing to do. And I don't have what it is that I was kind of slightly holding on to anymore, and I may realize a little bit of a loss, but really, you know, what's the final result in my mind? And then it's just retraining, just doing it over and over and over again, because the impulse to hold or to grasp, whether it's a material item or time or you know, view and opinion or whatever it is that you're relinquishing, you know, those are ingrained habits, and it's just kind of through doing it over and over again and then really looking at, well, what's the state of mind afterwards? And most of the time for me, it's like, I'm really glad I did that. And so recollecting, that kind of recollection is helps to really reinforce the next time that situation comes up. You think, oh, okay, well, the last time I did that and I remembered and I thought about it, it really felt good. So it becomes maybe that much easier to do it the next time. I don't know if that's what you were getting at.
It is, but, I mean, you know, maybe this is just the way my mind works against myself sometimes, and I have a way of doing that to down myself, but it's like, if I recollect, it's like, well, that was a big motivation when you did that. You know, it's like, it can kind of keep
right.
going around, and it's like, it's not healthy.
I think just recognizing.
And I think that's a little bit sort of like the difference between jhana anusati and atma anusati. Sort of recollection of generosity or recollection of self. No, so it's like, oh, that's why we have to be trained in this recollection. Because we do tend to complicate things and make it more complicated. So then sort of we get the confidence in, you know, yeah, but really does brighten my mind, I don't make it so complicated. So that's where the, kind of these as a practice are really fruitful things.
Yeah. And if there is a mixed motivation, that's okay. It's still better to do the right thing, even with a mixed motivation, than to say, okay, well, that wasn't completely 100% pure, and therefore I'm not going to do it again. You know?
It's just kind of hopeless idea.
It takes some knowing of what's going on with that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly you don't feel that. Mostly you tend not to know what people are thinking.
Because often also an act of receiving can be an act of giving as well, for sure.
Yeah. There are a lot of layers.